What if the very system designed to protect you became your greatest threat? A federal agent appears at your door, seizes your home, drains your bank account, and charges you with crimes that didn't exist when you supposedly committed them. No evidence required, no chance to defend yourself. This isn't some dystopian fantasy. It's happening across America right now, to ordinary people whose only crime was trusting that law would shield them from tyranny rather than become its instrument. We imprison more of our own citizens than any nation on earth. Northwestern University researchers discovered that innocent defendants now face a 25 to 37% chance of wrongful conviction, while the guilty have only a 10 to 13% chance of acquittal. Something has gone profoundly wrong with American justice, and understanding how we lost our legal protections has never been more urgent. The rights of Englishmen represent humanity's greatest achievement against arbitrary power, a set of principles that protect everyone equally, regardless of wealth or status. These protections emerged from centuries of struggle, codified by King Alfred in the 9th century, enshrined in the Magna Carta, and secured through the Glorious Revolution. Each generation fought to preserve essential safeguards: no crime without intent, certainty in law, prohibition of retroactive punishment, warrant requirements, protection against self-incrimination, due process, and habeas corpus. American colonists didn't reject English law when they declared independence. They asserted their rights as Englishmen against King George III's violations. But this precious inheritance now faces extinction. In 1776, colonists declared independence based on their rights as Englishmen. That same year, Jeremy Bentham published an anonymous tract attacking those rights as nonsense on stilts. William Blackstone's Commentaries on the Laws of England taught that law rests in the people as a shield against tyranny. No other book except the Bible played so great a role in shaping American jurisprudence. Blackstone recognized human fallibility and the dangers of concentrated power, favoring incremental legal development over radical reform. Bentham dismissed these protections, arguing government should pursue the greatest happiness for the greatest number rather than protecting individual liberties. After his death in 1832, followers reshaped English law through reform bills. His utilitarian philosophy spread to America, where it dissected the rights of Englishmen from U.S. law. Rather than protecting citizens from government power, law increasingly became a tool for implementing policies and pursuing politically defined greater goods. This shift enabled prosecutorial abuses, retroactive legislation, and criminalization of accidents, all justified by good intentions, but resulting in profound injustice. The principle that no crime without intent forms justice's bedrock. Blackstone insisted criminality requires both a forbidden act and a vicious will. Punishing unintended actions undermines law's moral authority and creates unchecked prosecutorial discretion. Yet this fundamental right has eroded dramatically. When the Exxon Valdez accidentally ran aground in 1989, prosecutors criminalized the accident under statutes meant for deliberate polluters. This Soviet-style prosecution extracted a $125 million criminal fine, establishing the dangerous precedent that accidents could be treated as crimes. Charles Keating fell victim when prosecutors invented a crime that didn't exist until he was charged. As chairman of American Continental Corporation, which owned Lincoln Savings and Loan, Keating became a scapegoat when bonds lost value during the real estate collapse. A California appellate court upheld this crime out of thin air based on a law passed after Keating's conviction, a clear violation of constitutional prohibitions against retroactive laws. The constitutional prohibition against retroactive liability remains in text but not in practice. CERCLA, Superfund, exemplifies this problem. Passed hastily in 1980, Reagan administration lawyers encouraged courts to apply strict, joint, and several retroactive liability, though these words don't appear in the statute. This meant total retroactive liability for anyone connected with waste dumps, regardless of the legality of their actions when they occurred. Superfund has ruined countless businesses while enriching lawyers, holding liable banks, insurance companies, and even a pizzeria identified by its discarded boxes. English jurists historically distrusted guilty pleas, recognizing they could result from coercion. Today, plea bargaining settles 90 to 95% of criminal cases, displacing jury trials. Yale law professor John Langbein notes chilling parallels between modern plea bargaining and medieval torture, where confession is the queen of proof, replaced genuine fact-finding. Prosecutors wield intimidating power against frightened defendants. Varying anxiety tolerance affects decisions. Some prefer plea deals to control their fate, regardless of innocence. Michael Milken's case exemplifies these tactics. This financial innovator revolutionized markets by developing junk bonds for promising companies traditional Wall Street ignored. Prosecutor Rudolph Giuliani exploited his success, using media to do the job for me, criminalizing technical offenses never before charged as crimes. Even after Milken pleaded guilty to 6 invented counts, Judge Kimba Wood imposed an unprecedented 10-year sentence. Columbia law professor H. Richard Oveler suggests more innocent people are in prison on their own guilty pleas than by false verdicts of conviction. On October 2, 1992, armed deputies raided Donald Scott's Malibu estate and shot him dead. Scott had committed no crime, but Deputy Gary Spencer had targeted his 200-acre oceanfront property using fabricated drug charges. Despite finding no marijuana, Spencer had spent a year planning the raid, armed with property appraisals and boasting he could seize the estate with just 14 plants. The Comprehensive Forfeiture Act of 1984 radically expanded seizure powers, allowing confiscation of property merely suspected of drug connections. This created perverse incentives. Seized assets directly fund law enforcement agencies. Justice Department memos even urged increasing forfeiture income, skewing priorities toward asset seizure over prosecution. The 1984 law targets property, not crime, enabling seizure from innocent owners. Dr. Richard Lowe, an Alabama physician, lost his $3 million life savings despite no wrongdoing. Willie Jones, a black nurseryman, lost his cash when an airline ticket agent reported him for paying in cash. The DEA maintains airport confiscation squads, paying informers 10% of seized assets. The privileged remain protected. When Assistant U.S. Attorney Leslie Otis' son sold drugs from her car, her property was exempted, while 83-year-old Paul Durbacker lost his home for a relative's offense. With the law cut down, Americans stand defenseless against highway robbery conducted under color of law. The attorney-client privilege, rooted in ancient Rome, faces modern erosion as aggressive prosecutors transform defense lawyers into potential witnesses against their clients. Defense attorneys now warn that consulting a lawyer could be dangerous to your safety. When Sir Edward Coke confronted King James I in 1616, insisting the monarch couldn't halt court proceedings, he later spent time in the Tower of London. Yet he persisted, leading to the 1628 Petition of Right reaffirming Magna Carta principles. The Supreme Court has largely abandoned the mens rea requirement. As Harvard scholar Henry Hart lamented, procedural safeguards become meaningless if anything whatever can be made a crime. The prohibition against ex post facto laws was so fundamental, the founders included it twice in the Constitution. Yet courts willing to defer to government agencies have hollowed out this protection. In the Microsoft antitrust case, the government applied novel interpretations of century-old laws to target practices that were legal when undertaken. The decade-long legal battle cost the company its technological edge, though the settlement ultimately required only minor adjustments. Sir Thomas More warned, "And when the last law was down and the devil turned round on you, where would you hide, the laws all being flat? The rights of Englishmen, forged through centuries against tyranny, now lie shattered. What protected the innocent has become a weapon for prosecutors building careers, bureaucrats expanding empires, and politicians trading liberty for safety." The transformation came through silent approaches and slight deviations from legal modes of procedure, as Justice Bradley warned in 1886. Good intentions paved this road, fighting pollution, drugs, terrorism, but the destination remains tyranny. When law serves power rather than truth, we've lost the foundation of free society. Your liberty isn't someone else's problem. It's the inheritance your ancestors fought to preserve and your responsibility to reclaim. Understand these principles. Demand accountability from prosecutors and legislators. Support organizations defending constitutional rights. Speak out against injustice, even when it doesn't affect you directly. Because the law they cut down to prosecute someone else today will offer you no shelter tomorrow.